Good morning.
Today is the first of three services during the summer when the children will be with us throughout the service. I try to pick topics for these services which will be applicable to all age groups. And this summer, as was hinted at already, we will be looking at fear. Today's topic on handling fear, particularly with using God's Word, focusing on the truth. Now, since we're talking about fear this morning, that's a good question to start with. Who here, children and adults, have ever been afraid? Okay. Who was not honest and didn't raise their hand? Which of you adults have been afraid as an adult? Kids, look around. Okay. Is there anyone here afraid of spiders and snakes? I see some hands going up. Okay. How about big dogs that come, that are running loose? I'm not talking about those behind the fences. I mean, we'd be afraid of those. Okay. Now, there are a lot of other fears that we could ask about, but some people are afraid of even admitting that they have such fears. Fear is something that we have in common. And you may think as a child, well, my daddy doesn't seem to be afraid. But when you look around, you see there are things that we can be afraid of too. Even as adults, we struggle with fear. Now, our fears may differ. What a child of two fears is not the same as what you may fear at 12 or at 22 or at 52. Our fears change. In fact, sometimes I wish that a two-year-old feared some of the things that I fear. They seem to be fearless in areas where I'm going, don't go out there, be careful. And they're just running out, and it's like you ought to have some fear in certain other areas. Some who are afraid of spiders aren't afraid of snakes. And others who are afraid of snakes aren't afraid of spiders. And fear is not necessarily wrong. We are told to fear God. So there's definitely a fear that's acceptable there. Fear often involves a bodily action which equips us to respond to danger. When you see that big dog coming running to you, if you just want, oh, I wonder what I should do, it probably gets you. But that adrenaline goes running in your body and you turn around and you run maybe faster than you normally would run and you slam that door behind you so the dog doesn't get you. I used to be a mailman. I carried mail. I've had my experience with dogs. And it's amazing how quick one's reaction can be because of fear. The one dog came running up from inside the house and hit the door, and the door was open. It was a big German Shepherd. And fortunately, the dog was surprised that the door opened, and I was quick enough that I slammed it back shut again. Fear is good when it causes us to react in a proper fashion. Anxiety, worry, being anxious or having cares is also a type of fear. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells his disciples, don't worry or be anxious. And then he commands them, do not fear. Showing that the worry was a type of fear. Now, being anxious, having cares about things, itself is not always wrong. Paul wrote that he had cares for the churches. He was fearful for them that they would be led astray. But he also wrote, do not be anxious about anything. The difference is how we handle those fears. There are some ways, our daughter once, Hans and Barbara will remember this. When she was younger, we were out hiking with them and came across a nest of wasps or bees. And she was afraid, but she didn't react well. She just stood there and sort of screamed and waved her hands. And that's not a good reaction. Run away. She froze. That wasn't good. When we have worries and we trust God with them, cares, as Paul did for the churches, he committed them to God's care, then that was an okay way to respond. But when we handle them ourselves and think that we can do it, and we just keep on worrying, then that's not a good way to handle things. Now, some cares or fears are based upon real dangers, like Paul's fear for the churches. They were real dangers. Other fears are real, but the danger is not. How many of you had monsters under your bed when you were little? I'll raise my hand. I did. And my protection were the covers. You pulled the covers up to hide. And oh, it was horrible when you woke up in the middle of the night and your arm was hanging over the side of the bed. And you knew there was something down there. And you, oh, if I move it, they'll see it. But if I don't move it, they might see it anyway. Now, there were no monsters under my bed. There was a lot of dust. And there were toys. I know that. There wasn't any real danger there. But my fear was real. And they're adults. They may not be monsters under the bed. But there are things that we really have fears about. And there's no reason to fear it. At least none that we can think of. Really explain it well. How do we properly handle fear? How do we live without being controlled by our fear? Now, to the adults, I want to add a disclaimer here. Being fearful can be a complex issue. Two people may fear the same thing for different reasons, and discovering the core cause may take much time and prayer for consideration. In these messages, I want to present a few simple truths, but I recognize that it's wrong to approach dealing with fear simplistically. You can't just take one verse and apply it and say, this is the answer. If you just do this, everything will be okay. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians about our thoughts and habits being like fortresses and strongholds, forts that have been built up over years. And just saying one verse isn't necessarily going to tear it down. But God's word is a good tool. It's a sufficient tool. That when we allow God's word to work in our heart, it will tear down these strongholds and we can overcome the fears that we have. I would like to invite any of you who have your Bibles, some of your kids, no songbooks, but if you have your Bibles with you, to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. There is a massive amount of material in the Bible about fear. About being afraid, being anxious. I mentioned to Mark Hill a little bit ago that this was the series I was thinking of, and he said, yes, there's like 366 commands in the Bible, do not be afraid. One for each day. I said, oh, my. And that's just, do not be afraid. If you add fear or anxious or worry or any of those other terms and do a search, you find a massive amount of material. The Psalms alone are full of things. It says fear. The effort to talk on fear. We're going to have to just focus and take one or a few passages and then from those just take a few thoughts and develop just a little bit of application from those thoughts. So we're starting with a broad amount of material and just coming to focus on a few thoughts over this summer. I'd like to read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, first, I'd like to mention two truths that particularly surprised me about handling fear. And both are found in verses 6 and 7. I call them surprising not because I didn't know what was there. I know these verses. I've memorized these verses. I just never made some connections. We talk about connecting the dots. Have you ever done that game where you have dots and numbers and you've got to go, or letters, and you've got to go through, and then as you do it, then you suddenly see a picture.
It's not well,
Number by order. I didn't know what it was called. Thank you. Number by order. And you connect these dots, and there's a picture there. Well, sometimes we know what's there, and we begin to see things how they relate. And as we do that, suddenly we see a picture. Oh, is that what it's supposed to mean? Kids, if God tells you to do something, tells us to do something, and we don't do it, what's that called? Sin. It's called sin, disobedience. And what, when we sin or disobey God, what are we supposed to do?
Pray and ask God to forgive
us. We pray and ask God to forgive us. We confess our sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've talked about this in other messages. Now, Philippians 4, 6, God commands us, do not be anxious about anything. If I continue to be anxious when God has commanded me not to be, what am I doing?
Sinning.
I'm sinning. And that means I need to confess it. I don't think I'd ever seen that so clearly as I did when I was preparing this. Now, I do not believe that being anxious here is just talking about the emotions of caring about something. Paul had great care for the churches, and that wasn't a sin that he needed to confess. It was how he responded to those cares. He took it to God. He committed them to God. He trusted God and could say, I am confident that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Christ. He will carry it through. So he had cares, but he dealt with them correctly. But if I try to carry those cares myself, if I continue to worry, if I let fear control me, and I don't do the things I'm supposed to do because I'm afraid, I need to confess that as sin to God. Now, I've often considered some fears to be more of a personal inconvenience rather than something which God does not like. This has been more like a suggestion. It would be good if you didn't worry. And when you worry, you say, well, I worried, this wasn't good. I shouldn't have worried today because it made my life kind of difficult. But to think, oh, I disobeyed a command of God here. I need to go to Him. And those areas that were sinful, to confess to Him and say, God, I shouldn't be acting this way. Forgive me. Help me to understand what's going on. Now, I can't explain why some fears come. I don't know why I thought there were monsters under my bed. I mean, I could get down and look, and there was nothing there, get a flashlight out. Now, I do know why there was monsters in my closet. Because there was this white shirt hanging there that I left the closet door open, and there was this white thing, and I could see it. But next morning, I found out what it really was. It was just a shirt hanging there. And it was nothing to be afraid of. So why was I afraid? I imagined something. I don't know why there's fear at times. But I'm going to take this verse at face value, and I personally have decided, that when I worry or when I have fears, I'm going to go to God and say, God, I may be sinning at this. I don't want to sin. Please show me what's going on in my life? Why do I have this fear? Because I want to please you. Show me what's wrong. Yes?
I've been watching this movie, and it was about monsters, and it had garden, and this boy was scared of monsters, and it had a monster in his closet, and it was a shirt, but then it made a little face, and it was going up.
Oh. He was watching a movie. If you didn't hear that, he was watching a movie and had monsters in it. And a boy saw a monster in his closet. And it was a shirt. And it had a face on the shirt had a face on it. So he saw this face on the shirt. And he learned why he thought there was a monster there.
It opened the cupboard door.
It opened the cupboard door. Ooh. That's a dangerous shirt. Some things we can explain. Other things we cannot. I'm going to ask a question, a revealing question. In your families, are you ever late for anything? Are you ever late? You're supposed to be somewhere and you're late getting out of the house?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes in homes, and this is typically a dad thing, he's going, "We're late. We're going to be late. I want to be there on time." And there are those dads who will then go out. This is more U.S. type situation, United States. They go out to the car and they get in the car and they beep the horn. "Come on, let's get going. We're going to be late." And he's worried about being late. And he's probably sinning as he does that. Why? Well, you can start going through the number of things. Why is he worried about being late? Now, if it's because he's got a plane to catch, he may be worried he's going to miss the plane. But if it's to a meeting, he may just be worried about what people think if they come in late. That's not good. If there are things that need to be done and he's not helping in the home, he's sinning because he's not being the type of husband and father he should be. And if he stayed up late last night and kept the kids up late so everybody was tired and couldn't get up in the morning, he didn't think early enough the night, day before. So there's a number of things that we might look through and say, well, this is the reason why he's afraid and worried that he's going to be late. It's not a right fear. It's not a right reaction to a situation. But there's one that's sin. And I don't want to be responding in sin when there's things I notice that there's fear in my life. Now, second surprising truth comes later in verse 6. It says, "In everything, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Now, everything includes fearful situations. In fact, the context is talking about situations in which we worry or are anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but when you're anxious, there's supposed to be some thanksgiving involved. And you go, what? Right in the middle of being afraid, being worried, I'm supposed to start giving thanks? How am I supposed to do that? Now, what can we be thankful for in a situation when we're afraid? Can you think of something that we can be afraid? Okay, that we have some sort of a fear, an emotion? You know, that's not bad. It's good that we have a right reaction to certain things. Yeah, okay, in some cases, maybe that we can be afraid, that we're aware of danger. Well, I had to think through this. There's a number of things we can thank God for, that He's bigger than our problems. We can thank Him that He cares for us. But as I thought through this, I thought of something a little more directly. Now, I'd ask about who's afraid of dogs. I saw a number of hands go up. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had to visit someone? Are any of you kids afraid of big dogs that are running around? A little bit. Depends upon the dog. And the reason. As a mailman, there was this one house that had a St. Bernard, and it was a puppy. It was a really friendly puppy. But I was a little concerned about that, because when a dog this big jumps up and wants to lick you, he puts his paws on your shoulders to do that. And I wasn't too happy about that, but it wasn't a dog to be afraid of. But sometimes you go to a house, we have a family, and some in our family were afraid of dogs. And you go to a house and they'd have a dog. And you go, what do we do with this dog? What do you think happens when you're afraid of a dog and you go to a person's home and they have a dog?
Give it a snack,
okay. Give it something it'll like. That might be a good idea. I usually don't carry dog snacks in my pocket, though. Oh, I've thought about that, so sometimes. Taking dog snacks. Usually, if you're honest and you're not going to lie about that, you say, I'm a little concerned about dogs. Some owners know that, and they ask, is anybody afraid of dogs? So we'll put it away. We'll put it outside, or we'll put it in its room. And you have to trust them that they're really going to keep that dog out of your way. Now, being in a fearful situation is an opportunity for us to learn to trust God. I don't think I ever looked at fear that way. When I'm getting afraid, it's like waving a flag, saying, hey, I want to get your attention. God is waving this and saying, this is your chance to trust in me and to get to know me better. Now, how often do we trust God when everything is going well? No, sometimes we do. I mean, if we're really conscious of it, we get up in the day and we start the day, Lord, we commit this day to you. Please let it go well. help me through things, and we commit it without being afraid of what's going to happen. But usually, we get up, we eat, we brush our teeth, some of us get our coffee, and usually it's the first thing we do when we get up, and we just go through our day until something happens that makes us afraid. And then we turn to God. Well, we should have been thinking of God and getting to know Him all along. And fear becomes an opportunity. It's God's getting our attention, saying, you can trust me now. And so I can thank God. And this is another decision I have made for myself. When I begin to see worry or fear coming into my life, I'm going to thank God for an opportunity to learn more about Him and learn how to trust Him better. Now, there are other reasons we can look at for thanking God in every situation, but we need to go a little bit further because we haven't gotten to the main point yet. I want to move to verses 8 and 9 and look at another way for combating fear. It says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or perceived or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Many times we forget, we like this, the God of peace being with us, but we forget all the things that went before that. Essentially, these two verses tell us to fill our minds with the right things and do what God has said. And then the God of peace will be with us. He is the one who gives us peace that goes beyond what we can even understand. Now, there's a whole list of things here. There is whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. I just want to focus even further and look at the first one. Whatever is true. Think about such things. Many times we are afraid because we have forgotten or denied certain truths. We fail to believe the truth. Now Luke tells the story about a man named Jairus. He had a daughter, and his daughter got very sick. I was told recently the two main fears that Swiss have. Two biggest fears for the Swiss. Do you know what they are? Two fears. I'm not sure what the order is. Number one of those fears is getting a serious illness, like cancer. Number two is losing your job. Top two fears of the Swiss. Jairus' daughter got sick. So sick, he was afraid she was going to die. And he was fearful. But he did the best thing he could do. He said, I'm going to go find Jesus. And he went and found Jesus and said, Jesus, you heal so many people. Would you please come to my home and heal my daughter? She's so sick. And Jesus said, yes, I'll come. So he started off on the way, and he got interrupted. Another woman wanted to be healed, and she was healed, and he talked with her and talked with his disciples about that. And as they're on the way, a servant of this man comes up, and he said, Master, your daughter has died. Don't bother the master anymore. Jairus' worst fear had come true. His daughter was sick and she had died. And Jesus turns to him. And you know what the first thing he says? Guess.
She's not dead.
Nope. That's not it. Just considering what the topic is for today, what do you think his first words were?
He's not afraid of them.
Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. But believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Only believe. What was he supposed to believe? Believe in God. Who was standing there with him? With Jairus. Well, a servant was there. Jesus was standing there. Believe in what I'm telling you. Believe in what I can do. Come on, let's go to your home. And he went to the home, and he sent people out of the room, and he raised this girl back to life again. The point is, though, he was to believe. Don't be afraid, but believe. King David expressed that truth long time before Jairus in Psalm 56, verses 10 and 11. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? King David saw the connection between not being afraid and trusting God. Specifically, he understood that trusting God was believing and acting upon what God had said. I will praise your word. I trust in you. I will not be afraid. Another psalm is also helpful in this regard. Psalm 119, verse 11. This is one that children often memorize. I learned it a little bit different than is in the NIV. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That was the way I learned it from King James. NIV is, I have treasured your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. The idea of treasuring it is to put in there and to guard it as something very special. Why do we put God's word in our heart? So we don't sin. If being fearful leads to sinful action, if worrying leading to sinful action, how do we combat it? By putting God's word in our heart, letting God's truth help us. God uses his word to reveal our hearts and even our motives. His word can help us discover what might be behind our fears. Now, I want to narrow it down a little bit further. There's a specific truth that is especially helpful to combat fear. And this is a truth to treasure in your heart. Take this, if you walk away with anything, you want to memorize something for today, this is the verse to memorize. Psalm 119, verse 68. You, talking to God, you are good. And what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. You are good. What you do is good. Teach me your decrees. That's a basic thing to remember when we face a situation that's causing us to fear and react wrongly. God, I choose to believe that you are good. And what you are doing in my life is good. Now teach me more what you have to say in your word, so that I will understand this, understand what's going on in me, know how I'm supposed to respond. Teach me your word. We say that we believe that God is good. I would guess if I asked most of you here, you would say, yes, God is good. But when we're faced with a fearful situation, we can question how it can be good. How can this be good? And then that question is if the God who directs our circumstances is good. Well, if there's a good God, and this is happening, can he do something or is he just not good? Is God good when he allows a teacher to get angry? Do you like it when your teacher in school gets really angry? Has that ever happened to you? I see some heads going, yeah, you know, it happens and we don't like that. How about when your boss gets really mad? Is that something that creates fear in you? When he walks in and the door slams and you go, uh-oh, what's going on here? And you say, is God good in this situation? Is God good when your friends laugh at you? Has that ever happened to you? You've done something? And all of them, look at him. He fell. He did this. Look at that stupid mistake he did. And he laughed. Do you say, is God good in this? Is God good when he lets that big dog come running at us? When we face the temptation of fear, God's goodness is revealed in his faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Fearful situations tempt us to respond sinfully. No situation is greater than what we can bear, because God is faithful. He limits temptation, also the temptations of fear. He provides a way to bear through it We must choose to use whatever way he gives to bear up through it. And one way he gives us is through his word, remembering some of these things. And we see this in the psalm. The psalmist frequently talks about having fear, and then he goes back and says, but I know this to be true. Not necessarily in these words. God is good. You are faithful. Even though bad things are happening, I will trust in you because you are good. It does not mean that God's going to take away the fearful situations. We still face death. He has not taken that away yet. But he's taken away the reason to fear death. And the psalmist, again David in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. In Hebrews it talks about the fear of death. He has taken away the sting of death, the judgment, so we do not have to fear death. I recently read the story of a woman who struggled with great fears. So much so that there were times that she wouldn't even go out of her house, and finally even out of her bedroom. She didn't want to go out of her bedroom. She was just overcome with fears. And she was asked this question because she was struggling. How can God be good? She said God was good, but she really struggled with that. She was asked this question. Was the crucifixion of Jesus good? What would you say? Was the crucifixion of Jesus good?
Yes.
Why yes? Do you know what they did to him? They nailed him on a cross. They hung him up to die. They beat him beyond recognition. Was that good? No, but. Good answer. No, but. It was a horrible situation. And none of us would say, well, that was a good thing to experience. I think I'll book that for my next vacation. But it was the greatest thing that God could ever do for us. It was a greater good. And that's the way we need to look at the fearful situations in our life. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29 is known to many. It says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many. God is working all things, including fearful things, for the good of those who love him. He has planned that we be made like Jesus. Jesus went through some difficult times. In fact, it says he had to learn obedience. Difficult times came because God was working in and through Jesus. And if God did that to God the Son, we can expect the same thing. But there is a very, very important condition here. This is not a promise for everyone. And that's important for us to remember. It says he is doing this for those who love him. He's doing this for those who are his children. These promises are not for everyone. We become God's children by receiving Jesus Christ for whom he is. John 1:12 says he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. We become children of God by accepting Jesus for who he is. God come in the flesh, who died in our place. And when we do that, we can know that we love God because we then keep his commandments. John wrote, if we love God, we keep his commandments. We can see that. And after we become God's children, we want to do what God says. We want to do what he commands. And the help that is promised to fight against fear is given to those who are children of God. And I don't want you to go away thinking, well, these things, I can conquer fear. That's not true, unless you are a child of God. When you realize that you have rebelled against God, you have sinned, you can go to him and have forgiveness, and you become his children. And then he gives you this promise. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The bad things that come into your life, of which we can be rightfully fearful, you don't have to sin in your fear. We can respond correctly. We commit them to God. and we can conquer our fear. God offers forgiveness and life as a gift to those who believe that Jesus is God. We need to then accept what God is giving us in His truth. We take the truth and we apply it to our lives to learn how to combat fear. Now, as I said, this is just the start, just a little bit to deal with fear. There are others. The next time I'm going to be talking about love. Love drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. And what that means. And then the third one is, whom do we fear? God or man? And what that means, because many of us struggle with this, the fear of man. How do we deal with that? And these are just things to get you started. And at your age up here, this is a good time to start putting these things into practice. Because if you wait until you're 30 or 40 or 60 and over, as some of us are, and if you have been practicing the wrong things all along, fearing things, it's going to be more and more difficult to get them out of your life. So if you learn these truths now and apply them in your life, you'll be a lot better off than waiting and living a life controlled by fear. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our place. Thank You that through Him we have access to You, we have forgiveness of sin, and we become Your children. Thank You that You have put in us then a love for You. We love You because You first loved us. And as those who love You, we have this promise that You are working in our lives, working all things for good. And that good is to make us like Jesus. Father, I pray that we'd see this when we face the fears in our own hearts. When we see things happen that cause us to worry and we just can't let go. Fears that overwhelm us, help us to turn to You, to ask You to shed Your light on our hearts, that we could see what's wrong, where we are responding incorrectly, that we can confess our sin, that we can thank You for forgiveness, thank You for what You're doing, thank You for helping us to trust You and to get to know You better. Work in us that we may give testimony to the fact that Your peace overwhelms us, guards us, a peace that we can't understand, but that we know is from You. We thank You for that and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.